It's time for Chat with a Cat as we explore all things Chico State Athletics. Chat with a Cat is brought to you by the Madison Bear Garden, Mountain Mike's Pizza, Recology, InterWest Insurance Services, and Northern California National Bank. And now with this week's installment of Chat with a Cat, Mike Baca.
And we welcome all of you to Chat with a Cat here on KPAY Sports 1290. I'm Mike Baca, and every Thursday for the next 5 or 6 months, we'll be talking with important figures in Chico State athletics, players, coaches, administrators, sometimes fans, and we'll be sometimes taking a look back, sometimes taking a look forward. And it's our inaugural show, and who better to talk with than the woman in charge of Chico State athletics right now, Anita Barker. She is the athletic director at Chico State. Anita, thanks for joining us this morning, inaugural show, and I'm looking forward. I hope I'm looking forward to some good news that you're going to deliver us. Hopefully some optimistic views about what we're going through. But thanks for joining us.
Hey, Mike. Thank you. I'm so excited to get this started. And I just want to take a second to thank you and Dino and Deer Creek Broadcasting for this partnership. We're really excited to launch it and look forward to talking to you so that our fans and our local folks have an idea what's going on with Chico State Athletics.
Okay, you know, let's get to this because in mid-March, Luke Reed and myself were down in Southern California getting ready for an NCAA Men's West Regional, and we were walking down the tarmac off the plane, and we get texts saying, you better get right back on the plane because we are not playing sports. And at that moment, I think we all kind of knew we were in for something that could be long. How's everybody doing in athletics right now?
Well, you know, for the most part, I think everyone is trying to keep everything in perspective. This has been obviously a challenge and a lot longer than we all thought it was going to go. I don't think our challenges have been anything unique to what everybody else is feeling, but it is something that, you know, it's just some days there doesn't feel like there's an end in sight. And you know, I think the context for folks is important. I mean, like you said, our baseball team was on a bus to Southern California, and our men's basketball team had blown down, like you said, to the NCAA Regional. And we turned both teams around on the day that, you know, our CCA presidents on March 12th canceled all athletic activity. And, you know, that's when it all started. And then we know that, you know, from that point forward, it was that first 6 to 8 weeks or so was really crisis management. And it was trying to keep our student athletes plugged in, you know, make sure everybody was safe, sort of, you know, navigate all of the challenges that were going on with the lockdown. You know, we transitioned a really brick and mortar athletic program where we really were paper heavy, and you know, we're old school in a lot of ways. We transitioned ourselves to being, you know, what I called virtual Wildcat athletics. And, you know, we had to really shore up what we do and why we do it when there's no athletic competition. So it was those first 8-12 weeks were really challenging. And then, you know, I think at that point we all thought it was going to be, you know, a short-term problem. But I'm so proud of just how everybody's responded. From that immediate response early on to how we've been doing lately, you know, we all know that for our community and our campus and for our athletic program, the last 3 years have been tough. And we keep talking about resilience, and I'm just so proud every day of how that shows up with our coaching staff, with our student athletes. They've stayed committed to us. They're engaged in their academics like should be. I think in a little bit today we're going to talk about some of the programming we've launched, so I'm super excited about that and how we've tried to keep our students engaged. And I think, you know, the truth is we're all tired of it. We're ready to get back. We miss each other. We miss good old Acker Hallway. But at this point, like it has been, we have to keep health and safety at the forefront, and that's been our responsibility since day one. So we're just trying to hang in there.
You know, as a sports fan, we hear in the national news about football games and Division One NCAA games getting ready to take place, and it's a tough task. I know for you, I know for me, people are saying, "Wait a minute, all these colleges are playing Division One college football. Why can't Chico State be doing that?" You know, and I have to. It's tough to explain to people that it's a different world. There are different worlds in college athletics. There is the Division One world, and there, and especially football, and then there kind of is the rest. If you could explain to people how it's different and why it may be possible for a Division One football program to play, but it's just not possible for a Division Two or Division Three school to play.
Yeah, and I think, Mike, before I answer that question, mm-hmm. I would ask everybody to really think about how successful they are playing, right? I mean, how many games did we see shut down this weekend? And so I think for everyone, it's important to remember that our responsibility as an institution and as an athletic program is the health and safety of our staff athletes, and obviously our staff and all the people that it takes to pull a game off. And I think the hardest thing for folks to wrap their head around right now, me included, and I'll put me at the top of the list, is getting comfortable with the reality that COVID has really amplified the unequal playing field in college athletics. And, you know, I'm not trying to say that others don't have the health and safety of their student athletes at the forefront, but it's just a different opportunity for schools that are different than us. You know, to explain it a little bit, the NCAA back in April started putting out what they call resocialization protocols. These are the protocols we have to comply with to safely return our student athletes and our programs to play. And then in California, I think it was about May when the governor started issuing the public health guidelines to return to play. And all of those are guidelines that we as a program have to comply with. That's the same at Division One, Division Two, and Division Three. Those protocols keep changing all the time, but the bottom line is they're linked to the availability of broad-based testing. We have to be able to do what's called surveillance testing for our program in order to return to in-person contact, and that's what games are, right? That's in-person contact for all sports. The surveillance testing has been our challenge. We know locally in Butte County, testing for a while was difficult to come by, but that's just standard, you know, weekly symptomatic testing, you know, or regular symptomatic testing. I have symptoms, I've been exposed, I go get tested. That's not the kind of testing that needs to happen for college athletics. For an example, for the sport of basketball, we're required to test the team, what we call tier one folks, and that's the student athletes, the coaching staff, the athletic trainers, folks that are in the, you know, in the sort of bubble of the team. We would be required to test them three times a week, whether we're at home or road. And that's just one of the many elements that we have to comply with. Who wears masks, who doesn't wear masks, and those are just, that all translates to money. And for those major programs that have media rights and have, you know, they're trying to generate revenue at a scale that, you know, what we can even think about, perhaps that risk reward is something that they want to do. But for us at our level in the CCAA and specifically at Chico State in Butte County, it's not something we've been able to accomplish.
Yeah, it's interesting you say that because when I've been kind of poking around with the conference and asking people, you know, what is the feasibility of resumption of play? And I get the same answer. And it's, hey, the cost of testing because of those three times a week that student athletes would have to be tested. It makes it inconceivable. It makes it problematic for a Division II school, even, I would imagine, even smaller Division I schools.
Yeah, I agree with you. And, you know, some of our sister campuses in the CSU that are not in the CCAA, but some of the larger campuses that compete in the Mountain West, they've also been able to successfully get back at it But again, there's some resources there that they, as institutions and as athletic programs, have that it's not typical at the Division II level, and it's specifically not typical in the CCAA. You know, we don't have a large media rights contract that would supplement the cost of that. But Mike, that's just one part of it. You know, I think if you dig in and you read some of the stories of the experience that the student athletes are having. For example, I just read about one of the Pac-12 football programs and how they have to operate on the road. So just think about this. They're on the road. They take the team to the hotel. Each student athlete, each member of the travel party is in their hotel room, locked in their hotel room. They're not allowed to leave. Their meals are delivered to them. They can't interact with their teammates. They can't interact with anybody else. There's no hanging out in the lobby. They have to then bust over to the field. They get tested on site for a contest, and then they play their game. Certainly, that's important. And then post-game, they're not allowed to interact with their family or friends if they're allowed at the game. They get on the bus, they go back to the plane, and they fly home. And again, I think it comes down to, you know, what's not just the health and safety, but also the experience that we're giving our athletes. You know, is that really what they signed up for? And the last thing I'll say is there was news this last week and of a couple of programs where the student athletes, you know, this is a piece that's in the NCAA protocol, were required to allow student athletes to opt out of participating should they choose to, if they're not comfortable. And there was at least one CSU campus that plays in Division I women's basketball that was in the news this last weekend that too many members of their team opted out, so they couldn't field the team. So there's a whole lot that goes into this. Testing is a key component, but there's a lot more to it.
We are talking with Anita Barker. She is Chico State Athletics Director. You are listening to Chat with a Cat as we delve deep into all things Chico State Athletics. We take a quick break. We come back. We continue our discussion with Anita. You're listening to KPAY Sports 1290.
Every day, new laws and rules go into effect that can dramatically change the insurance coverage that you currently have for you and your business. This insurance update alert is brought to you by InterWest Insurance.
InterWest Insurance wants you to know that as the current situation progresses and shifts, be assured that InterWest is well positioned to continue servicing your needs. They're an essential business, and to the extent possible, it's business as usual. Their hub offices will remain open, and they're prepared both operationally and technologically to have staff members work from home where necessary and to take care of you. At InterWest Insurance, their customers and employees are their top priority. Together, we will get through this.
Call InterWest Insurance today and see how you can fight back and protect your business. InterWest Insurance, 895-1010. That's 895-1010. Or visit them on the web at iWins.com. That's iWins.com. Let InterWest Insurance Experience guide you.
Welcome back to Chat with a Cat here on KPAY Sports 1290, and we are talking with Chico State Athletics Director Anita Barker as we are talking all things Chico State in one of the more unique situations that those of us that love sports and love athletics is experiencing over the past 9 months, the coronavirus pandemic, COVID-19, and how you operate within its constraints. Anita, eligibility. So many tremendous student athletes have called Chico State home, and whether you're a baseball player and you missed most of your season, and then this season is up in the air, you have a basketball player who we don't know yet, but could be missing an entire year, depending on what decisions are made. I mean, how is the NCAA dealing with the eligibility question?
Yeah, Mike, that's a great question, and I think that also relates to the differences between the three divisions. At Division II, which is where we compete, the NCAA quickly acted last March to offer what they call a legislative relief for the eligibility of our spring sports student athletes, which would allow, those are the spring sport athletes from spring of 2020 that their seasons got canceled. They were given their season back. In like manner, they did the same thing for our fall sports athletes, and they canceled championships this fall. So soccer, volleyball, and cross-country student athletes were given legislative relief in their year back. We're still waiting for an answer on what's going to happen for the sport. I mean, in our world, that's basketball, NCAA Division II championship decision, but they've already announced that if an institution or a conference cannot compete in winter sports, you know, basketball for us, then the student athletes will get their season back.
Student athletes and coaches are kind of hanging as you are, as fans are, but I mean, they're the ones that are integrally involved in this. I mean, this is what they came to Chico State for a good education and to play in a high level Division II program. How are the student athletes responding to this? How are the coaches? I mean, you've got a tremendous stable of coaches at Chico State. How are they handling this? Because it not only involves the players you bring in, but it also involves budgets. I mean, you got certain scholarship monies, and there's certain people. Should I recruit? Should I not recruit? Are guys staying? Are female athletes staying? Are they not? I mean, these are part of the equations.
Yeah, Mike. First off, I just want to say, like, number one, I'm so proud of our coaches and our student athletes, and I'm also grateful to our institution for sticking by our athletic program. We were able to honor all of our student athlete scholarships. There has not been a discussion about adjusting any of our program offerings, and our coaches have just, from the very day one, have bought into continuing to support their student athletes and pivoting and figuring out how to get it done. And it looks a little different with every sport, but they're all engaged. As far as our student athletes go, I think you know, for the spring of 2020, we just recorded unprecedented academic success, and some people might say, oh, well, that's just because, you know, the spring got easier as it ended. And what I would remind people is that when we talk about an academic year success, it means what they did in the fall as well. So, you know, to have, you know, over 30% of our student athletes with 3.0 or higher, we had letting student athlete success in all of our academic achievement areas. That to me just triggers how engaged they are in their academics, as well as, you know, their competitive sport. And, you know, I know it's not what our student athletes signed up for, and we all respect that, but we have taken the responsibility very seriously to try to provide them some programming elements, some things that, you know, during the normal course of the year, as you know, Mike, we are a small staff. We pull off close to 100 athletic competitions at home every year. You know, normally at this time of year, we'd be putting fall sports to bed, getting ready to rolling right into basketball season. And there's never a break for us to stop and think about some of these things that we wish we were doing, that are, you know, really those strategic kind of priorities that are Division II student-athlete experience priorities that we just didn't have the people power to get done. And that's where we've shifted our focus and have really been trying to accomplish some unique programming opportunities and engagement opportunities with our student-athletes this fall.
We are talking with Anita Barker, Athletic Director at Chico State. You are listening to Chat with a Cat here on KPAY Sports 1290. I know, and when you talk about the academic excellence of the student-athletes at Chico State, this doesn't mean, and I was talking to you before we went on the air, the athletic offices are barren. I mean, there's basically nobody in the hallways, nobody in the offices, nobody. I mean, that campus has to be clear. So it's not as if the students can go through this high-powered tutor session where they are all together, and that's why maybe the grade point averages go up. They did a lot of this on their own at home, making sure they got their studies done and did the necessary work. Talk a little bit about the athletic offices being completely empty, which must be foreign if you I know people aren't allowed there. There's a couple people that are allowed there, and that's it. There's just no one there.
That's right. You know, we closed the building on March 25th, and we have not been back as a body since then. And so really what our goal all along has been is to replicate the hallway. You know, we talk about the Acker hallway and what a great culture we've developed there with our student athletes and our coaching staff. So we've done everything we can to replicate that. And what that looks like, Mike, is since the very beginning, we've had you know, Zoom opportunities galore. We did academic advising with Zoom. We have strength and conditioning over Zoom. We have athletic training services over Zoom. Both our academic advising compliance office and our strength and conditioning office have opened what they call Blackboard rooms for the student athletes to drop into. The coaches are doing Zoom, you name it. We've had Zoom cooking contests. We have Zoom nutrition segments. They've even, you know, when we hit this point in the summer, in the late spring, summer, with all the social injustice issues that were going on, our coaches were on board getting our alumni and some of our other resources on campus connected with our student athletes. And then, you know, we were all set to try to get back to some activity this fall. And of course, you know, we spiked slowly and campus has shut back down. So we pivoted again and we reactivated all those things that I just talked about. Plus, we launched initiative with our student athletes to get them in the COVID safety. Our student athletes and our athletic department was part of the campus walkabout to go out and try to spread the word for COVID safety. Our student athletes were heavily involved in the voting registration, and we called it hashtag cast your vote, and got all of our, we had 100% of our teams get their student athletes registered to vote. Our student athletes took the initiative with a diversity and inclusion video. And I think one of my real proud moments is we've been trying for a long time to launch a leadership academy, if you will, sort of a life skill programming for our student athletes where we really offer them a skill set that's outside of their sport. And we launched that in late September. It's called CAT Skills. And we've already had six sessions with our student athletes. We've had coaches, you know very well, Mike, how fun it is to listen to Coach Greg Klink about building culture in your program. So we've had Coach Klink. We've had some alumni. We had another, you know, why is it important to vote in a voter education session. So we've really pivoted to delivering this online experience, remote experience, as best we can. Of course, we cannot replicate competition, but as, you know, Luke Reed on my staff always reminds everybody, the day we get the green light to go back to competing, we don't need any time. We'll be ready. So in the meantime, we're doing everything we can to deliver this experience to our student athletes, something that they can be proud that they were part of.
It really sounds like you're bringing some life skills into the athletic department and taking that role a little bit because of the fact that some of these other skills you might learn being part of a team, you don't want that lost on these student athletes because they're not competing on the courts or the fields. You want them to continue to keep developing those skills because those are skills you're going to take into the workforce being part of a unit, being part of a team.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And I think the other important thing I will say is, you know, campus has really pivoted to a variety of virtual experiences and remote experiences that all of our students can plug into, whether it is, you know, a career fair that's online or, you know, academic advising sessions. Like I've mentioned, there's all kinds of virtual experiences to really keep our overall goal for all of us is to keep our students engaged, to keep them feel like they're making progress toward their academic and future goals, whatever those are, and also, you know, to retain them. Obviously, that's important. We don't want to rebuild an athletic program. We just want to restart where we left off, you know, 9 months ago.
Where do you see all of this moving forward once we get back to competing? I mean, are there going to be some blips on the screen? Are there going to be some areas? I mean, you said keep moving forward. I mean, I know a lot of people say this is such a unique time and such a break And before it's all said and done, I mean, depending on what happens in the next few weeks, we could be looking at more than a year before the athletic department competes. So how do you pick up, and where do you see the Chico State Athletics moving forward?
Yeah, that's a great question. Well, first off, I will say, you know, we were part of the campus plan that went to the chancellor's office back in May for possible return to some level of activity this fall, even though we weren't competing. And so my goal for spring is that we'll remain part of that. You know, as we start to reemerge from the winter break and get students back engaged with university spring semester, you know, one thing that's great is the weather in California is good. And so that provides us some opportunities to, we can get the testing thing, take care of opportunities to re-age and get our students back doing some in-person work. That's what our goal is for the spring. Because you're right, Mike, it's going to be baby steps. You know, folks have to remember that our student athletes went home for break on March 25th and they haven't been in person, or excuse me, March 11th. They went home for spring break, and they haven't been back since then. They haven't been in person with the strength and conditioning coach. They haven't been with their teammates. Some of our freshmen we've never even seen in person yet. So, you know, what we call a reacclimatization period that is going to have to happen so that folks can safely return to the level of physical competitive activity that we want to. So, yeah, there will be baby steps getting back, getting, you know, folks re-socialized, repopulated. The hope is that that's what the spring will look like. The reality is, you know, winter and basketball is getting tougher and tougher to be a reality. If you think about what I just said, if we can't get in the gym at all, or, you know, at the earliest till late January, you know, folks can figure out what that means for themselves. But spring sports, I'm continuing to stay optimistic and hopeful for, and I've shared this with our coaches and our student athletes. You know, those kids lost their spring competitions a year ago, and some of our seniors stuck with us. And so we're going to try to do everything we can to get them an opportunity this spring within the boundaries of health and safety that we can live with. But or that we can provide them, you know, and what's acceptable and what our university believes is acceptable. So that's what we're looking forward to. And I'm going to stay hopeful. I'm hoping, you know, we're going to turn the corner on this, you know, national approach at some point, and it's going to be a little easier for us to get what we need to be able to move forward.
Anita, before I let you go, I did want to ask, I know that there are so many stipulations on student athletes and when they can actually work out as a group coming into their seasons and off season, when they can actually hold practices and things of that nature. Has there been discussion on the national level with the NCAA for all divisions to maybe loosen the reins on those provisions a little bit, where maybe thinking optimistically, things get better in terms of the coronavirus and COVID-19, and gathering is allowed and teams are allowed to gather, but it happens to be in June and it's the summer, and a coach says, man, we've had all this time where we haven't been able to practice. We could practice now. And the NCAA says, no, there's off-season workouts. You can't really do that for a certain amount of time in this certain area. I mean, have there been discussions about loosening up some of those stipulations that the NCAA hands out?
Yeah, Mike, there already has been some loosening of those playing practices and restrictions that we typically, that are very strict and that are the same for everybody. There's been a significant amount of, you know, timing given in that this year, just so that institutions can pivot and do what they need to do. There has not yet been a serious discussion about summer, you're talking about. At Division One, there are some allowances for that. What I've been happy about is the view that, as an organization, the view that the NCAA has taken during this time is really opening up some flexibility for campuses to do what's best for them, for their student athletes. So I would imagine, we're trying not to make too many decisions early because you don't want to have to walk things back or, you know, wish that you had waited longer because it's changing so quickly. But I would imagine as we roll into spring, we'll start to, see more about what could be possible in the summer next year.
Anita Barker has joined us. It's Chat with a Cat, all things Chica State, as we delve into all things Wildcat-related here on KPAY Sports 1290. Anita, it has been a great chat, and in a couple of weeks, we're going to talk with you again as we celebrate Thanksgiving. Let's do it safely, of course, and socially distanced with our masks on, but we'll be celebrating Thanksgiving. We'll be joining the folks again in the first week of December and talking with you again on Chat with a Cat, and I'm excited for this six-month sojourn with those in your athletic department, and thanks for joining us today.
Yeah, thanks, Mike. Appreciate you all. Happy Thanksgiving.
Chico State Baseball takes doses and wearing it for 25 years, only on KPAY Sports 1290. Taking a dose is getting hit by a pitch, people. We aren't rule breakers here.